So how is everybody this morning?
Pretty good, Chris. And it's afternoon in Chico, California. Weather is pretty nice. And just got back from another trip and no problem with GPS whatsoever.
So why don't we throw out some questions? Does anybody have any questions off the bat?
Yes, Chris, I wanted to see when I did a manual route. Just to kind of play with it on at my campus at Chico State, and I tried reversing my route back. For some reason, it doesn't announce to me my next turns or nothing. Even though prior to starting or prior to reversing the route, I have put all waypoints and did not put any descriptions. I just put what it was. I pressed L for left, R for right, S for straight, and like I said, when I go to reverse it, it doesn't tell me exactly the turns, even though I know the path.
Okay, what does it do if you hit T for your nearest turn? Does it give you that information?
It gives me the information, but on the it gets me from the other route, not the route that I'm following, but the route that I created, and it tells me like. Gives me like 140 feet behind.
Okay, when you created manual route, did you save it first for reversing?
Chris, you are going wacko with your talking software, so I did not catch that.
You gotta go out, Chris, and come back in.
The only information I got, Chris, back to what I was saying was it told me like certain feet behind. From the path that I just got off.
Okay, my question was, did you save the route before you reversed it? And also, you might want to check if your auto increment waypoint setting is turned on or off.
I did save the route, yes. And how would I turn on the auto increment setting on with my PK? And if you could excuse me, I'm going to pull out my PK from my travel bag. That way I could do this while you're talking to me in my ear.
It's under route and then settings and then auto increment waypoint. It should be on. If it's not on, then if you never reach the waypoint, it won't increment it. So if you're going to the turn and then you, for whatever reason, the GPS flickers and you never hit your turn, that could be why it's still telling you the turn is behind you.
Hello, this is Denise. I have a question. In the new fix, does the GPS 4.0 tell you the total distance? Is the keystroke the same? What keystroke is the total distance? Or did they upgrade when we did the fixes for 4.0? Does it give the total distance? But it does. My boss tried it, and he said the total distance. It doesn't give him the total distance with 4.0, but he didn't put the new fix in on his GPS.
Okay, that was moved into one of the submenus under the routes menu.
Also told me that when he's using his GPS, he said the Bluetooth turns off by itself. It says no GPS detected, and he said he noticed he didn't turn the GPS off.
Okay, the Bluetooth issues are Keysoft issues. I haven't seen them much, but I've heard reports of Bluetooth turning itself off. Now, is that a PK or an M-Power? And you might want to do a 456 reset just to clear everything away and research and reactivate your receiver.
Hello there, Chris.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Congratulations on your trip up to Half Dome.
Yeah, it was a lot of work and a really long day, but it was surely worth it afterwards. Pretty rewarding.
So let me ask you this. How long did you actually stay up there at the top?
Probably no, not much longer than 20 minutes, just because we sort of figured that we had to get back down pretty soon, just because it was 2:30 or so, and if we didn't feel like hiking back down when it was really dark, or get back to the bottom around midnight or so we didn't spend much time at the top actually.
And so we'll keep this GPS related. How did the GPS receiver do?
It did okay, I guess, but probably for the first hour or so it didn't pick up any satellites at all, just because of the tall building, or not the tall buildings, but just the granite rocks and the tall forest trees that were around there, and it just probably for the first hour or so until I got to was about 4,000 feet or so. Then it began picking up satellites, and from 4,000 to pretty much the top, I maintained 8 or 9 satellites throughout the entire hike. And a few times I got 11 satellites, but for the first hour or so, it was pretty mediocre.
That's amazing. And yes, Chris, I guess the auto increment waypoint and route following also was off, I believe.
Yeah, if you turn that auto increment waypoints to on, then that should do what you want it to do. And it's usually on by default.
For some reason, it was off, and I never even messed with that.
And Denise, to answer your question about the total route distance, it's R, A, D. R is in Romeo, A is in Alpha, and D is in Delta.
Thank you.
I have a question. The Hollett N1000, I've been hearing, reading up on the Sendero email list, but what's the difference if I buy it online or go through Sendero? You know, like, would I have, is there any different, like the WAD file or anything special?
Elite Acres has entered the room.
That Sendero done?
Yeah, to answer your question, no, there's nothing special about the hardware or the firmware of the M1000 that Sendero sells versus getting it online. That's, you know, totally up to you now, wherever you want to get the M1000. It's pretty cool to have that. You know, there's no special firmware needed like in the 236.
Okay. Because, well, I got to call Sendero tomorrow and talk to Sheila because they want me here at the VA to get a purchase order written up for a veteran. So that means I got them to bought 6 of them from Sendero already. So I tell them it's better to go to Sendero than going through Humanware. And it'll just make it much easier. So I think it's number 5 or 6 I got them to buy now.
Very cool.
I think on the 10th one I should get one free, right? And that's how it works?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, I'm going to be giving the training on it, so let me benefit on that one anyway.
This is Denise. I have a question. Now, I couldn't find a new manual. You know, they put 4.0, so the manual seems to be the same as like 3.5. Is there another manual that I overlooked?
Yes. Go to help, space with H, or the help key. Go down to Sendero documentation, and then go down to user's guide, and that should be the 4.0 manual.
Chris, if Jim come back in here, I'm reading one of his email right now. He can't seem to talk. If he come back, I'm just reading his email right now that he sent on the email list. So if you read it, he couldn't get to talk at all. So I just thought I'd share that with you.
Okay, thank you very much.
So what's the topic for today?
Whatever you want it to be.
HHSU, I went to help and I arrowed all the way down to this. It says Sendero documentation and then I went to the manual. So is that it?
Excuse me, Denise. Jim was having a technical problem. Jim, I think if you hold down the right control key and hold it down, then you hear a beep, then you should be able to talk. If you can't, press F8 and then type what you want to say and then enter.
Okay, okay. It said press enter to check in here. I'm pressing the right-hand control key, and I'll let it go and see if you hear me now. Try it.
You're coming in loud and clear.
You're perfect.
Okay. I was getting misled because it said type enter, as far as my mousing around could pick up. Okay, I'm with you guys now. I was hearing you, but I couldn't talk before. This is Jim Gammon, first time. Well, maybe not the first time, but second time. I don't know. It's been a long time since I'm checking in. I'm usually not able to check in on Sunday afternoons. Anyway, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Location here is in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Well, I think this was my first time since I was in here sometime in September, because I just got back from Romania. So, and it's 8 hours. It's 8 hours different from Texas.
Okay. Well, anyway, yeah. Get back to Denise's question there. I don't remember what it was, but maybe I was still confused or trying to log in, but she had a question or something.
I have my GPS turned on, and I'm sitting by the window, and I have some satellites. So when it says GPS under sub menu, how would I get there?
Couple ways. You want to get to the roots menu, you can just hit R from the main GPS application, or you can go to help and go down to roots, or go to help and hit R to jump directly to roots. So there's multiple ways to get to the same place.
That again?
Press the letter R from the main GPS application. That will bring you to the roots menu. Or you can go to help and scroll down to roots and hit enter. Or you can go to help and then press R and it'll jump you to the roots menu. So there's three ways to get to the same place.
Hey, Chris, Jim here. I think you're right about the thing back on that point of interest thing that we were talking about, or I was emailing you about. I think it's just an inaccuracy of the commercial waypoints versus the actual user points. And it does not overall, well, of course, I haven't tried it nearly everywhere, but it does seem to be, in general, much better than the 3.5 accuracy was. And, you know, it's only a couple hundred feet off, but still, it's kind of weird when you're walking up one side of the street and it tells you things are on your right and the street's on your right, not the businesses that you know are on the left.
No, it's funny. That's okay. I was out a couple days ago, and I recorded a user point of interest from one of the old Sportrek or Magellan receivers. And I went to the place where the user POI is, or was supposed to be, and it was like 35, 40 feet away, and it would have been in the middle of the street, so I just re-recorded it.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. I've had three receivers on my time with GPS. I had the EarthMate. Well, actually four. I borrowed one from work, and it was the old Magellan. I don't even know what model it was. Pretty large one. And they ran on, what, AA batteries. And then I had the EarthMate one. That was my first one that I actually owned. And then it was four of them. Yeah, it was the EarthMate and then the two Holuxes now.
And Chris has about, what, 20 receivers?
I have a shelf of them, that's for sure.
I have probably right around 10.
Well, that's what makes geeks different from the rest of us.
I'm going to ask how many you had, Kevin.
I have around 10 or so.
Oh, see, there you go.
He probably takes them all with him, don't you, Kevin?
Sometimes I do, yeah, but most of the time I only carry about three of them with me. I only need one, but what the heck.
Reference.
Hey, Kevin, yeah, this is Jim here. Congrats on that trip. I did play most of your replay Friday. I had to kind of suffer through that first hour or so. Maybe it seemed like it was longer than that, where it was getting no satellites quite a bit of the time. But yeah, it was kind of interesting. I think I got you. You were still out when I had to stop the replay for some other stuff I needed to use the unit for. But yeah, it was great. That's a fun sounding trip you did. And we'll wait for more adventures in the future for your space shuttle ride or something like that.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great trip and well worth it. And not really sure what happened that first hour and a half or so, but pretty much after that I had locked onto 9-10 satellites without any problems at all. So must have just been those granite rocks and those tall trees at the valley floor.
I guess so. Did you ever? I didn't notice any WAS at all. I didn't go with you clear to the top. I fell off the side there, so, but I didn't notice any was. I think you mentioned a few minutes ago you might have gotten it briefly. Is that right?
I don't think I ever did. I think there was a few times where I got maybe 11 satellites, 10, 11 satellites, but I never got wazzed that entire trip, so there must be, between the tall trees and the granite rocks, there must, I don't know, it's wazzed. It's probably not possible to get wazzed there.
Well, then there's also the, I don't know much about wazzed, but I think you also have to be some near a ground transmitting station in some cases, and they're usually around big cities that enables you to get wazzed or something. I remember reading something like that in the manual a long time ago.
Can you get WASD on a new N1000?
Yeah, you can.
I'm sure that's what you were using up there. Well, I would hope it would be. And, yeah, I've gotten it a lot on mine. It works very well.
What, is it worth the investment to go ahead and buy the N1000? I have the Holic 236.
Well, that's what I was using. And when I read about the N1000, I went out for it, not so much because of WAS, although it does give you better WAS acquisition. I got it because the battery life is twice as long, because the acquisition time is much shorter than the 236, and because the it registers slow movement distances and headings much more accurately or readily, I guess I should say, than the 236 did. So for all those reasons, I went out and got it as soon as I heard about it.
Okay, well, you just sold me on one, so those are the three reasons that I was looking for, and you answered them all correctly. Thank you.
Well, I get a kickback from Chris. No, not really. No, I think it's great. I really do. I haven't actually tried the thing to its battery life extreme or anything like that. I'm just assuming it would go 17 hours. I usually don't like things to run out, so I plug it in. One thing I'd be curious to know, if one of you, like Chris or Kevin, if you guys have done that, run it down to where it's, you know, not working or whatever, does it do like the 236 where it says attempting to acquire satellites or something, but it never does? The 236 seemed to do that for quite a while before it would actually say, you know, no receiver found or something like that, which meant your receiver was totally dead. Appreciate any information on that deal.
I ran mine down for testing purposes. 23 hours I got with mine, so it's. I guess it's going to vary. The manual says 17. I definitely got 23. I got 22 point something or other. And as far as if I can remember properly, it just dumped the receiver, and I still had a fix until it died.
22 hours. So that means you never went to bed until that receiver died on you, huh?
I started it before I went to bed, and then went to bed and woke up the next day, and it was still talking away. I had the Braille note plugged into the wall, and I had the receiver sitting on the table with not plugged into anything, and that's how it worked.
Hi, this is Eileen. I my receiver died the other night, and I really was surprised because I didn't think that I had used it that much. The only thing I can figure is that I probably left it on at some point without realizing. And yeah, it just really died on me, which I guess showed me the wisdom of being a little careful, maybe carrying an extra battery, but. Another thing I have found, I love the M1000. I also have enjoyed the 236. But I find either I'm more adept or with the M1000, if I need to reconnect, it just seems to do that much faster and without all the trying that I used to have to do with the 236 sometimes to get a reconnect.
Yeah, I'd second that too, Eileen. This is Jim. Although usually if I haven't hooked it up for a long time, I'll go into the connect thing before I even go GPS. I'll see if the Bluetooth is turned on. If it's not, I'll turn it on. I don't search for devices, and I go into the Holux M1000, and I usually find that it's paired but not active, so I'll go in and activate it, and that seems to shorten the acquisition time down when you do go into GPS. Of course, then you've used some time doing all that. So you could, you know, maybe you, you know, other guys want to comment on, you know, I have found that it if it's in that state, in other words, if Bluetooth is not on, I can't use the C and the backspace B or whatever in the GPS mode to connect it. It doesn't seem to work.
Does 236 and the 1000 take the same battery?
Jerry, yes, they do. And Jim, if the Bluetooth is off in the connectivity menu, the receiver will not connect. So the Bluetooth needs to be on. One thing that I do is leave my Bluetooth on all the time. And when I turn my first thing I do is I go outside, then I turn my receiver on, then I turn my Braille Note on, and quite frequently, I just go right into GPS, and quite frequently it knows that it's there, and it can get a fix really quickly.
I have a question for both Kevin and Chris. I'm just wondering if there are different situations that you would want to use a different receiver, or what, since you guys carry multiple receivers with you?
I carry multiple receivers for demonstration purposes, to pass one around if people want to see it, but I normally stick with the one receiver that I feel comfortable with. The M1000, when we were testing it, came out on the top as far as the ones we were testing. But that's usually why I carry multiple receivers.
Back to the Bluetooth thing. Yeah, I think mine, probably why it turns off, is that I sometimes switch between a Wi-Fi card or turn wireless on. And I think when you turn the wireless on in the M-Power, it might turn off the Bluetooth. I'm not sure, although it seems like it should be able to leave them both on. Although then there may be some, you know, it may drain more current if you're on batteries and stuff like that. I don't know. But, yeah, anyway, I can't remember the other question I had about the receiver, so I'll let it go.
Question, this is Denise. When I got the fix. And what does the, you know, remember that you had something that said that the GPS has 4.0 had some fixes. What were the fixes in that?
If you go to www.senderogroup.com/download.htm/patch, the fixes are all right there. I don't know them off the top of my head, to be honest with you.
Just go download and then patch. Download, patch. Okay, thanks.
I think they had to do with the dumb keys and some address lookup. You can find some certain highways, and I think there were improvements with exits and off-ramps. And if you're a main one,
something's going wacko. You were gone for a little while, Chris. It says zero moderator.
Yeah, I dropped in, I dropped out, and then dropped back in because I couldn't speak.
Me too. I have the same problem. Something happened with the site. Denise, I would suggest.
Orlando has left the room.
I would suggest if you haven't updated to 4.02. I would do that.
I did it on the PK, but I didn't do it on the Braille Note yet. But I did it on the PK, and I've used the PK a little bit, not a lot, with the upgrade. But I still use 3.5. But I'm just reading and practicing with the 4.0 before I go out and try to use it.
I think also most of the upgrade stuff had to do with Braille display issues and stuff rather than anything else. I could be wrong. I haven't read it in a long time either. That's between 4.0 and 4.02.
Yeah, and there were also point of interest category lookup POI searches that were fixed as well.
Oh, right. That's yeah, you're absolutely right.
Oh, it's coming back to me.
PK with the 4.02 on updated, but I didn't do the Braille Note yet because I wanted to see if before when I first put the 4.0 on there, and then they talked about putting the fixes up. I just wanted to see how the PK would respond to it first.
Yeah, I wonder when they're going to do any more upgrading to 7.5. It seems to be pretty stable now at build 20. I know it's not a GPS question, but directly, but indirectly, of course, it affects it. Anyway, HumanWare is pretty tight about announcing anything that they're going to do, I think.
Tell me about that. A few years ago, I asked them and asked them, are you guys, they're going to say, you know, this before the M-Power came out, yeah, they're going to be, we're going to have Bluetooth and all that, and Sure enough, I got the veteran affair did the update, and it ran about $600 for all the back update. And all of a sudden, a few weeks later, they announced the new the Empower, you know, all this other stuff, and I'm about ready to, you know, I was pretty upset because I was I didn't have to pay for it, but it was, so somebody that had to pay that kind of money. Yeah, they're tight-lipped, Jim, very, very tight. I've been out of the country and I just got back Wednesday. When was the last update? Do I need the update 7.5?
Oh, are you using what now, 7.2?
No, I downloaded the 7.5 when it first was released. But how many patches are there now since September the 4th? And I got back October the 10th on vacation in Europe. So I was gone for quite a while. So when was the last patch? Does anybody know? Do I need to download some patches?
The last build was build 20. So if you're not running build 20, you'll want to go get build 20.
Back to GPS. Couple of questions. I know you've told me this before, but when I'm recharging my battery with the M1000, how long should I charge it? That's number one. And number two, between vehicular and pedestrian routes, should I go into options and change my distance? I think right now I have it set at 50 feet. If I'm doing a pedestrian route, should I change it to something smaller?
2 hours on the first question, and the second question, you can leave the distance alone. It deals with speed. So if you're walking, it knows how fast you're walking and takes that into account. And if you're riding in a vehicle, it takes that into account. You know, and that's for like the approaching turns and stuff.
Good. The less work I have to do, the happier I am. Thank you.
Eileen, what was the 2 hours response about? I missed that for some reason.
How long the battery should be charged.
Thought it was how long you walk around when you get lost.
That's perpetual.
I think that's 3 hours for that question, Chris.
I'm going to turn in for the night. I have to get up tomorrow or bright early to get ready for work. I want to thank you for everything. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, I'm going to step out of here. Dinner is ready, so good night, and I'll see you guys next week.
Have a good one, Jerry. Thanks for coming in.
And welcome back, Jerry. It's good to hear you again.
Thank you. And nice to be on vacation, nice to be home. I enjoyed my time in Romania with the family there, and then we went to the October Beer Fest and then came back home, and I'm still kind of wore out.
Take care, Jerry.
Okay, so Kevin, I want the answer to that question that Tiffany asked about your receivers, and what do you do with the ones that you do carry?
Mainly just carry them around, and sort of if I feel like swapping receivers, I guess I can, and also if I'm in just with other people and for whatever reason their receiver dies out, then I can pass them one of mine that I carry around for whatever reason, and not much of a reason beyond that.
Is the range of the Bluetooth, not that it really matters, but is it less on the M1000 than it was on, or is on the 236? In other words, like, you know, it seemed to me it was a good maybe 20, 25 feet you could get away on the 236, but I haven't really checked the 1000, but it seems like it's quite a bit shorter, which, again, it really doesn't matter, but I'm just curious.
It shouldn't be. I've seen it. I've been upstairs diagonally in my house, and I still had a fix, and the receiver was downstairs on the dining room table, which was probably a good 20, 30 feet away.
I think they're pretty much the same for both the 236 and M1000. I haven't really tried to do any comparison, but I wouldn't think that the receiver would make that much of a difference.
The only reason I would think it might was because the battery life is so much longer that I thought maybe they cut down on the Bluetooth range and they saved a little power that way. But maybe it's the thing I was curious about, which is the chipset difference between the chipset 3 and whatever the chipset is that the 1000 uses, which I read again somewhere, I guess it was on the Sendero product site or something, and they said it was sort of similar to comparing Amdahl or AMD with the other big guy whose name escapes me right now. Anyway, anybody want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think I said that. It was like comparing AMD to Intel. Surf is the chipset, you know, that makes Surf 3, obviously. And MTK is the one that makes the chipset that is in the M1000, and it's also in other receivers. Now, having said that, not all MTK chipsets are created equal. As we know, not all Surf 3 chipsets are created equal. So some receivers, you could be walking down the street and you could be several hundred feet off from where you actually are with the receiver, and then it'll kind of like snap back. So they're not all created equal.
Okay, now by some receivers, you mean some of even the same like M1000s? Would they differ, are you talking about, you know, models or brand differences?
I'm talking about brand differences.
Okay. Have you ever tried messing with the firmware the software that comes with the thing to see I don't know if it's accessible.
Nope, haven't bothered. Actually, that brings me up to a good point, Jim, about your M1000s. I have four of them sitting here, and I use all four of them, and I use them for testing. One M1000 versus another M1000, and so on and so forth. And they all seem to fare pretty reliably against each other.
Huh, okay, interesting. I never did figure out that deal where the thing, remember I wrote sometime back, I was on the bus going home, and all of a sudden the thing had me about 3 miles south of where I was, and that was not with the M1000, that was at the 236. I think I logged off and logged back on, and it came back correctly, but that was a strange feeling.
Yeah, sometimes if you're getting funky things like that, you want to turn the receiver, power it down, and then turn it back on and, reconnect to it. And that usually fixes those issues.
Is that under 3.5 or 4.0, Jim?
That was 4.02, and that was only about a month ago. And it was with the Holex 236.
I think I've noticed that from time to time, but just the various receivers I have, but it's not really consistent in like the location it happens or the situation, really. Just for whatever reason, there's just a fluke, and then comes back eventually.
Yeah, sometimes it will, it'll flip around a little bit, but it doesn't happen often.
Yeah, that was my experience. And the only other time I had it happen was with the old Earthmate and I can't remember if it was 3.5. Could have been 4.0. But anyway, no, it had to be 3.5 because I got the Holex when I got 4.0. Anyway, I was from the local shopping center walking westbound, and I was tracking stuff, and all of a sudden, I was nowhere. And then I think I expanded my search points out to see if it would find where I was, and it had me about 35 miles out in the ocean west of the coast somewhere. That was pretty strange.
It's been a bad, must have been a bad GPS day.
Does that ever happen? I mean, I've had the feeling, not so much with this receiver at all, but there have been times I've turned the thing on, and I thought, geez, I wonder if something happened somewhere and the military turned the thing off. Not that I imagine they would, because there's so many people dependent on it. Not that they couldn't, but it did, you know. And I know the clouds and stuff don't affect it, but I didn't know if times of day, if there were more satellites in view or whatever. From what I've read, the satellite system orbits at around 12,000 miles up, which is roughly half the distance of geosynchronous satellites. And there, I think, are 27 of them, and three of them are not on. Like three are spares. There's always 24 of them on. Is that pretty accurate data or what?
Yeah, that's accurate data, and it just might have been, you know, when you were 35 miles out, it just might have been one of those fluke things that just happens with no real explanation for it.
Yeah, I didn't think that was a GPS satellite problem. I've just had that feeling when I haven't been able to acquire satellites, and again, that was with other receivers, not the two or the 1000. I still think it's better to acquire them outside, even with the 1000, than it is trying to get them inside, though.
Oh, absolutely. That's true.
Another interesting phenomenon I've had, and I think it's probably due to multipathing. If you guys had this happen where you're not moving, It seems like I've had it when I've been sitting on a bus and it says you're going, you know, 0.5 miles an hour or 1 mile an hour, and you know you're sitting at a bus stop. And then I think I repositioned the satellite up, you know, I took it out of my pocket, put it up by the window, and it said not moving. And I sort of attribute that to multipath, maybe.
Yeah, it probably doesn't like to be in your pocket. It works the best, you know, even the M1000 works the best on your shoulder up near, you know, looking at the sky. I tried this the other day where I took the receiver, threw it in my back pocket, and was walking down the street, and I was walking about 1 mile an hour, 1.5 miles an hour or so, and the heading was just flipping around.
It's probably because the signals are bouncing like through the material in your pants, and as well as if it's in your pocket, or if you're at the bus shelter, it's bouncing off the various things that are around there.
Right, and then it's also trying to bounce through you.
Yeah, it's called bun interference.
In Chris's case, yeah.
Chris, didn't you put a big storm up on BCT way long time back, like a year or so ago?
Not that I remember.
There was a time, I don't want to get off topic here, I know it's a verboten thing, but there was a time back a year or so ago when BCT was going big time, and there were several people put thunderstorms and different things up there. I was hoping somebody would put a big hailstorm or a tornado, not that I want any tornadoes to get near anybody, but anyway, I thought you'd put a big storm up there. Oh, well. Anyway, you could track it with your GPS. There, I got it back on top.
So, Eileen or Tiffany, you have any questions?
Well, just... you had said that if your receiver really starts going wacky, reconnect. Does that mean turn off everything, including the M-Power, and, you know, start from way back from scratch, or just leave the M-Power on and reconnect that way?
Yeah, turn the receiver off, wait a few seconds, and then turn it back on, and then do the backspace R, B, control R, whatever you want to do, to get the Braille node and receiver to connect to each other.
I really haven't done a careful comparison that I'd had to do an awful lot of reconnecting, even when I was, you know, in the middle of a route, and I'm just not having that problem as much with the M1000 at all, and that's a relief.
That's definitely good to hear, but keep watching that.
Yep.
Sorry, guys, I'm flipping between the chat and the football game. So my comparison with the M1000 and the 236 is I've been able to use it more in the house with the M1000 than with the 236 as far as looking stuff up and looking around.
Okay, I got to tell you what I did this morning. I went for a walk, and there was a street, kind of a weird street that I wanted to check out. So I was standing at the corner of the street, and I tried to create a route, and it didn't want to go the way I wanted to go. That's kind of beside the point. So I set my GPS to virtual, went into virtual mode, and started exploring the way that I wanted to walk. Because I was right there, and I was near the intersection, and I hit the forward command to go to the next intersection, it took me there. And then I turned right, and it went up the street I wanted to go down. But I was able to then switch back into GPS mode and follow the route that I or follow the way that I wanted to go.
The nice thing about virtual mode and just the ability to quickly set your current position as your virtual and just sort of have that whole exploration happen.
And it was really funny because I learned that the one street you made a right onto it, and then you made another quick right onto this second street, which then turned into the third street. It did a complete name change, but it was only about a 40-foot, the second street was only about 40 feet, so it was really kind of strange, but using that method, I was able to figure it out.
Hey guys, I gotta head out. Dinner's calling. Hopefully I'll be able to catch you guys next week.
Take care, Tiffany. See you at convention in a few weeks.
I'll see you at convention, Kevin.
Thanks for coming in.
What was the conclusion to Jim's problem about the things being on the wrong side of the street?
Okay, I haven't looked at it yet, but Jim and I have come to the conclusion that it may just be the inaccuracy of the inaccuracies of the commercial points of interest.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Because like I said in my last email, I marked the front door of this medical group place that where I know where it is, because I go there. and the commercial point was several hundred feet down the street. And all the commercial points seem to be in the wrong place there. They always say they're to the right when I know they're to my left. At least I know most of them are. But the user points are right on. So I think that's all it is.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is, too, because I've had that happen in various situations, and it's just regular commercial errors that happen, and just decided to mark a user point there. It seems to not be an issue any longer.
Sure is cool, though. I mean, last week I was up in Placerville last Sunday, and I was at one location. I was going to meet some friends of mine. We were playing at a little kind of a one-day deal up there. And it said the place was, you know, like I was at 262 Main Street, and the place that I was going to meet my friends at was 594. So, it's only three blocks. Well, in those old towns, 3 blocks turned out to be 0.34 miles. And, of course, I found that out on the GPS thing, in advance. And so somebody I told, said, well, these guys are playing, they're finishing up at this place up the street. And they said, yeah, it's only 3 blocks. I said, yeah, but it's actually 0.34 miles, and so we better drive up there, because we were carrying instruments and stuff like that. So I was, it turned out to be correct in that case. So at least the commercial points were very good to have. The quality, when you do Q, and it says H and then V or whatever, I'm assuming that's horizontal accuracy and vertical accuracy. Is that correct?
Yes, and the smaller the number, the better your accuracy.
Right, and the vertical accuracy is still not that great, I guess, right?
Right. The more important number is the H dot value.
Right. Okay. Well, I think I'm going to bail out of here also. I got to go do some shopping. So you guys have a good week, and fun getting in here. It's great. I'm sure hope I'll get a chance to get back in here more often, but I'm usually not around on Sunday afternoon.
Okay, sounds good.
Take care, Jim.
So long. I think I'm going to bail out too, but I want to wish Chris congratulations on your first year officially starting with Sendero, and Kevin, happy birthday. I think I've got it pretty close, and I'll see you guys next week, maybe.
Yeah, you know what happened in Buffalo a year ago? I wouldn't be here if it was a year ago. That storm that took out 400,000 some odd households.
I do remember that. I'm thinking about how last week it was too hot to walk, and this week I'm looking for my winter coat.
Is that where you are, in Buffalo?
Yes, I'm in Buffalo.
I'm in Connecticut.
Okay, yeah, I heard about these marathons that got... Well, it was a number, but where was it? Chicago. Several people died because it was 94 or something a week ago. Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Now all we got to do is get it so we can hook up on the Empowers using, hook up to this chat group on the Empower. That would be great.
I agree.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. And everybody have a safe week and happy GPSing.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, everybody.